Brethren, if a man be overtaken in any trespass, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each man prove his own work, and then he shall have his glorying in regard of himself alone, and not of his neighbor. For each man shall bear his own burden. Bearing with faults.
The Apostle Paul's epistle to the brethren in Galatia, you know, was written mostly to correct false teachings of the Judaizing teachers who mingled with the believers in Galatia. The brethren in Galatia, they started out with the correct doctrines, but because many of them were Gentiles by birth, they were misled into believing that to enjoy blessings through Christ, they must also practice Jewish customs. But Paul also noticed that some misunderstood what freedom or liberty in Christ meant. So in the fifth chapter and verse 13, we would read the following, and this is from the New International Version, Galatians 5:13. Here Paul tells them, you, my brothers, and he's talking to consecrated, justified believers, were called to be free. But he says, do not use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. He says, the entire law is summed up in the single command, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will destroy each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want to. And then Paul tells us in verse 19, that's Galatians 5:19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Now, as we read this, some are more obvious than others. For example, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft. Now say, you know, many of us will stop here because those are pretty nasty. That's bad. So they'll stop here, but notice what Paul adds to this list. He adds hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Wow. He didn't leave anything out, did he? So therefore, he tells them in the sixth chapter how to help a fellow new creature that is overcome in the fault. But first of all, we must read in Psalms 51 and 5. Psalms 51 and 5, which tells us that, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And the Apostle Paul confirms this statement in Psalms when he says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. As begotten new creatures, we are covered with Christ's robe of righteousness. But we must remember that our sins are not blotted out even when we were reckoned justified. Our sins are merely covered. They're covered And it says, our Lord hides them from his sight and deals with us as though we had no sins, receiving us into his family and making covenants with us as though we were perfect or righteous. Thus, in Romans, the 4th chapter, 6th verse, Paul quotes from the prophet David, where he says, Romans 5, 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Now you will notice in verse 7, there is a difference between iniquities and sins. The word iniquity carries with it the sense of wickedness, lawlessness, while the word sin has merely the thought of transgression. And many of our transgressions are wholly without iniquitous intention. So in our flesh, that's in our imperfections of what? Our mental, moral, and physical is the record of our sin. And this God covers from his sight until we finish our course in death, which is the grave. So we must keep these thoughts in mind as we consider the lesson here in Galatians, the 6th chapter. Now we will read our text for consideration from the Phillips translation again. And it says, even if a man should be detected in some sin, my brothers, the spiritual ones among you should quietly set him back on the right path, not with any feeling of superiority, but being yourselves on guard against temptation. I have the first verse only. And so we're going to try to stay with that first verse. But that's what Phillips says. And we have the blessed privilege of having many translations these days, don't we? But you know, I like the old King James. The old King James translation says, the Apostle Paul opens up this discussion in Galatians, the 6th chapter, by saying that, he says, if a man be overtaken in a fault. I like this phrase, this opening phrase that Paul has here, because the Apostle John uses a very similar expression in 1 John, the 2nd chapter and 1st verse. In 1 John 2 and 1, he says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And then the phrase, and if a man sin, well, you know, for myself, I like to change that word if to when. Not if, but when. So to me, it would read that when a man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, which means satisfaction, for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Well, as we said before, begotten new creatures are covered with Christ's robe of righteousness. But the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:7, that we have this treasure, that is the new creature, in an earthen vessel. Our earthly bodies, isn't it? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. However, you know, we know that the new creature is responsible for the actions of our flesh, which gets us into trouble sometimes. And in our text, the 6th chapter of Galatians, in the 1st verse, Paul speaks of being overtaken in a fault. Overtaken in a fault. The diglot uses the word surprise instead of overtaken. Be surprised. The New International Translation and a few others use the word caught. So Paul might be saying, if a brother is found to be overtaken by any sin, if his passions or his temptations get the better of him, it refers in cases of surprise and of sudden temptation. Christians do not commit sin deliberately, but they may be surprised by sudden temptations or urged on by passion, as King David was. Now, the fault or sin that Paul is speaking of falls into a category of what the Apostle John tells us in 1 John 5:16. And from the New International Translation, it reads, 1 John 5:16. He says, if anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray to, and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. John continues by saying, there is a sin that leads to death. He says, I'm not saying that he should pray about that. He says, all wrongdoing is sin. All wrongdoing is sin. And there is a sin that does not lead to death. Well, how do we help our brother in Christ when he is overtaken in a fault? Well, Paul tells us in Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 1, that ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Well, Brother Russell said that the most spiritual ones of the church should do this to bring about a restoration of the erring one to a condition of righteousness and fellowship with God, unquote. The Apostle James confirms what we just said in James 5:14, New International Version again. James 5:14. Is anyone of you sick? And we're talking about spiritual sickness. He should call upon the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he had sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Because he says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Well, James is saying to some of the Lord's people who might become sin sick to such an extent that they feel alienated from our Heavenly Father, they should call upon the elders for their help, and that is through prayer on his behalf. However, before this is done, the erring one has to repent of his sin, calling to mind the prophet David's words in Psalms 147 and verse 11. Psalms 147 and verse 11 tells us, the Lord takes pleasure in them that fear or reverence him, in those that hope in his mercy. They have hope in his mercy. You know, there's an old saying that God can heal the broken heart, but we must give him all the pieces. And this is what David said in Psalms 34 and 17. Psalms 34 and 17 from New International Version. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He hears them from all of their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from all of them. The pastor said that this should be done in a meek manner, remembering that they also are imperfect in flesh, and that they also may at some time be overtaken in a fault. He's speaking of those who are helping the sick one, to remember that they also might be overtaken in a fault. And he says, in the future, if not in the past. Living Bible supports that thought. The Living Bible for verse 1 says, you who are godly should gently and humbly help him back into the right path, remembering that next time it might be one of you who was in the wrong. So you see, the main object of prayers is to restore the erring one in the spirit of meekness with a kind, forbearing, and forgiving spirit. This cannot be done with anger, nor with lordly and overbearing mind, nor with a harsh and unforgiving temper, but with love and gentleness and humility and patience, and with a readiness to forgive when wrong has been done. This is an essential qualification for restoring and recovering an offending brother. The Apostle Peter gives elders this advice in 1 Peter 5:1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. And the important part here now, he says, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. No one should attempt to rebuke or admonish another who cannot do in the spirit of meekness. The erring one, of course, is already deeply humbled and distressed and needs much encouragement and mercy. I will close with some advice from the prophet David in Psalms 103 and verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, not rewarding us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him, reverence him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are but dust.